You're a cyclist or triathlete and you've been making remarkable progress with your training. You've got yourself a new power meter or a smart trainer. You've been doing the work. You've been seeing the gains. Those numbers have been going up. You've been getting faster and it's brilliant. But maybe just recently that progress has slowed down, stopped, or maybe even gone backwards a little bit. Right now you're thinking, I wonder what a coach might be able to offer me. Can I keep this progress going? So in this episode, we are going to look at that subject. We're going to see what you might expect from a coach, how much it might cost, whether it's going to be the right thing for you or not, and the sort of questions you might want to ask. Let's get stuck in. Okay, big subject this one actually, and this is hopefully going to spark an awful lot of debate. I really, really hope so, because from my personal experience, I think this subject needs a debate. The role of a cycling coach is bizarre in my opinion. Now, if you employ a cycling coach, you're probably going to find one of two backgrounds. That is someone that's been through the sports science degree type of background, probably a very successful racer in their chosen discipline, who now coaches a small amount of people in their local community, or maybe they work for one of the bigger online firms. The other type of coach you're likely to encounter is the coach that's gone through the British cycling type of training, which is very skills orientated, and you tend to find these around cycling clubs and youth organisations and that sort of thing. And sometimes you find that blend of the two. So British cycling tend to look at the skills coaching until you get up to level three, whereas the sports science route doesn't really get into the idea of coaching. They're much more involved in the science, and the actual transfer of knowledge doesn't get covered as much. The priority isn't as much. And sometimes you see the crossovers, but generally speaking, they are the two backgrounds. Now, here's my take on it. Generally speaking, when we think I'm going to employ a coach, we're thinking about someone that's going to write a training program for us rather than someone that's going to teach us how to pedal more efficiently or use a set of rollers. We tend to think of that around the youth organizations. So you're probably thinking, I need a training plan, and the coach is going to write me a customized training plan. And that's, if you search online, type in cycling coach, that's probably what you're going to find. And you're going to find a bronze, silver, gold, level 1, 2, 3 package, something like that, that's going to say, we'll write you a training program. You'll get a certain amount of calls, text, emails, phone calls, whatever, a month. You might get some fitness tests thrown in there. You might get some other perks and benefits. But generally speaking, the more you pay, the more contact time you have with a coach. And when you first look at these, they can seem quite expensive. But I want you to break that down. And I want to question, what part of a coach's service are you going to value the most? Now, let's say the three things that a coach is going to offer you. First of all, a written program to add some structure into your training. They're going to adjust, analyze, and feedback on that training program. And hopefully, they're going to be a big part of your education in terms of teaching you more about you, your body, your skills, and how you look at this data and become more of an independent athlete. So those are three things. Now, how much would you be willing to pay per week for that service? Now, online, you'll probably find prices between around £140 up to £600 per month. And that £600 can seem expensive. Before I get into that, let's just think, how much would you pay your bike mechanic, car mechanic, barber, hairdresser, a sports therapist, someone that you pay service to, a florist, for instance? And how much would you pay per hour? Now, I'd say that the going rate for a service-orientated freelancer in the UK is between £30 and £60 per hour. And breaking that down into those three things, how long do you think your coach is going to spend writing your training program and then making the necessary adjustments. In my experience, most coaches find the task of writing a training program a bit of an admin chore, if I'm honest. And that's especially true depending on how the athlete approaches it. Now, sometimes you get athletes who follow it to the letter, live and die by that program. Other times you get athletes that use it as a broad outline to do roughly what's required. And the athlete's approach to it will dictate the motivation of the coach as to how much time they put into it. But let's say you're paying £140 a month. And for that £140 a month, you expect your coach to write a program, adjust and analyze the feedback, and provide some educational input as well. So that's not a lot of money to break those three things down to actually write a month-long detailed training plan. And then if you need to go off plan, work commitment, you know, a family commitment, all those sort of things, and that plan then needs to be adjusted because of something that you couldn't do or weren't willing to do, then the coach has to go back in there and it becomes a chore for that coach. So you might not always be getting a perfect program. And the thing that I've always found that athletes really, really appreciate is actually the contact time. For me, that was the most, or is, you know, that's why we do this, is actually coach to athlete contact time. And that's what really gets me excited about coaching, not the writing of the program. And it's like looking at the results, analyzing it, working out where we can make performance gains, communicating that, discussing it, how are we going to fit that in with an athlete's schedule and enthusiasm. That's the exciting bit. The actual task of writing a training program, for me anyway, most coaches I speak to are the same. I'm sure there are some exceptions. Normally find the actual task of writing that down in something like Training Peaks or Today's Plan actually a bit of a chore, and especially so when the workouts aren't done. It's like, oh, you know, what did I bother doing that for? So when you're looking at a package, here's my advice. First of all, take that package, a monthly payment, times it by 12, get how much it's going to cost you for the week, divide that by 52 weeks of the year, and work out how much you're paying your coach a week. And I think you'll probably be quite surprised as to how much time you're expected to get from your coach, and it's not a lot most of the time. I would say that around £350 to £400 a month, you're probably getting good quality from your coach. That gives them about 3 hours a week to work with. And I think from that, you will get a training plan that's had some good consideration. I think that they will spend the time looking at your power data and giving good constructive feedback and use that to then inform the next training plan that they write. And they'll also get really good quality contact time with them as well on about that sort of a package. Much less than that, I would probably be asking other questions. So let's go. What's the benefit of a training program? This is probably the thing that you think you're getting, first of all. The, you know, your life laid out for you in a calendar. Every day you get up and you look at your training plan and you go and execute it. And you want that structure. You want that progressive overload. You want to know where you're going to be. And you've had a discussion with your coach. You've analysed where you are now, point A, and where you want to be, point B. And you've got this fantastic structured training plan that's going to take you step by step to that point. That's what this plan is all about. And it can be really motivating. You know, you get your plan delivered, it's in Training Peaks or Today's Plan or something like that, and you start completing your workouts and you get these big green ticks everywhere. You start seeing that critical training load go up, you see your fitness go up, you see your form go up, you feel great. and it's brilliant. I probably, there's not many athletes that I've met that can continue on that trajectory. There, it takes a very special individual at a certain time in their life to really be in that zone, like doing exactly as you're told every day without question and getting the work done. If you think really, most of them are quite young athletes, or they're later on in their life when family work is a bit more settled and they can actually dedicate their time to it. Now, if this sounds like you, that work trips come up, family commitments come up, and when they do, that training plan can become quite the opposite of motivational. You know, every now and then you miss a workout, or maybe you don't perform on that workout as well as you should have done because you've had a poor night's sleep, maybe you've been away with work, and you know, I've known athletes that take their turbo trainers to hotel rooms and all that stuff and have been full of enthusiasm, but then all of a sudden that big sea of green ticks starts turning amber, a little bit red, and then those questions creep in. I've missed that workout. Does that mean I should go back and do the workout that I missed? But now I've got another workout coming up, so do I get on the program? And then you want to talk to your coach, but you're on this limited program of how much contact time you can have, and you feel like you're bothering them. And that's normally the start of a downward trajectory. And this is where the coach really earns their money, if you like. That's where that intervention from a coach is so important, is to just go in, reevaluate, adjust the situation, get the athlete in a good place again where they can start thinking constructively and find the motivation for them again. That's really where a coach earns their money. And if you're not on a coaching plan that allows that to happen, then I feel that you can very quickly get into that situation. Now, a lot of this will depend on you as the athlete. And the very first question I would probably ask myself is whether you are intrinsically or extrinsically motivated. Now, intrinsic means motivated by goals that you set yourself versus goals or ambitions set by other people. Now, if you're intrinsically motivated, my feeling is that you would probably struggle with a lower tier coaching package because you'd always want to learn more. You'd always be searching and trying to question and find the things that really motivate you and gravitate towards those. An extrinsically motivated athlete is more suited to a training plan, in my opinion. Like I say, this does vary at what stage of life that you're at, the time that you're able to give to it, how important that end goal really is to you. Now, it is about finding that work-life balance that is of critical importance. So, before we move on, I just want to go, when you have that coach time, you know, that one-to-one time on a call, on a, you know, a Zoom call, or hopefully it's even person in person, which would be absolutely ideal if you can find a local coach, is that they should look at two things really. That plan, do, review cycle, where they've written a plan, you've done that plan, and you review it together, and that review together is constructive enough that it then informs the next plan that gets written. And that, on a low-tier plan, will only probably get reviewed once a month. That might not be enough. If you're not hitting workout targets, or more to the point, you're finding it too easy, that could almost be done on a daily basis on the higher-tier packages. And I think that's really important. You want the, not only do you want to just give the data to your coach, but you also need to report back to your coach how it felt, because you know that rider perceived effort is still critically important. The coach needs that feedback. The coach should be hungry for that feedback. The other thing is that team task individual equation as well. The team being you and the coach, that relationship you build with a coach is really important, because they're going to be by your side. They're going to ask very personal questions. You're probably going to give up very personal information. And you need to feel in a really comfortable place to be really honest with your coach, because the better that relationship is, the better quality of plan and feedback that you are going to get. I can't stress that enough. That is so important. The individual needs is you, and you really have to be honest with whether this plan, this coach and relationship is meeting that. And at certain times, that relationship between a coach could be really important. You know, the times when you're not hitting your goals, you're not finding the time to train, that's when that relationship is important. Other times, you just need some time to yourself and just need to put the plan to one side. And the coach needs to know when to back off, let you have your moment, take the pressure off, not let the training plan become a demotivator. And also, you need that task. Sometimes you're just going to be in the zone and motivated and doing it. And the coach just needs to go, brilliant, they're cracking on, they've got it, they're in the zone. Let's just keep adding the encouragement. So those two things are really important, that team task individual and that plan do review cycle is where the value of a coach is going to be. And I would really, really pin as much value on that as you possibly can. Now that takes me into another question. If you're going to spend this money, think about what that's going to look like. And is a cycling coach actually the right person for you? Now, like I say, you're going to find an array of cycling coaches, right the way from people working for big organisations, right the way down to a local coach that's probably got a very tight network of athletes specialised around their chosen discipline. But when you get that coach, they're probably going to start asking things like, have you got a parameter? Have you got access to weights to do strength training? What about doing some skills training? Have you got access to a track or a skills coaching area, like a pump track or something like that? So, and all of a sudden, you're going to start thinking, well, actually, maybe I need a personal trainer rather than a coach. And I'm going to put this out there, because a lot of the work of a cycling coach can actually be done by a personal trainer. Let me just point out. So if you're a cyclist and you know your sport, like you know that you've got to improve your skills, you know where to look to go and improve your skills, you're willing to put the practice in. If you're slightly intrinsically motivated, you'll probably learn how to construct a training program yourself, or you can download one from the internet, or you can use some of the really good artificial intelligence software like Excer or Trainer Road, where they do an awful lot of that work for you. And then it just needs a little bit of knowledge in terms of the athlete to manipulate that to suit their lifestyle. Sometimes when you get a cycling coach and they start prescribing stuff that you can't do because you've got no knowledge of it, that's where a personal trainer can become really useful. So things like prehab exercises. Prehab is the ability to like stop getting injured by doing your good mobility warm-ups, really getting to know the movement patterns of your body so that you can become more of a bulletproof athlete. What about your rehab? How do you look after your body after you've been really, really training hard? And then strength training. Most cyclists are pretty new to strength training, and if you start getting prescribed strength training, you're going to go, well, actually, I need some help with this. And you're going to go to the gym, and all of a sudden your coaching package now requires a gym membership and possibly some personal training on top. And you're going to want some help with like how to lift weights. Because I guarantee if your coach isn't prescribing strength training, you need to speak to that coach, because it should make up a good portion of your training program. Like, I don't know a single, you know, national level, pro level athlete that is not doing strength training. So if your coach isn't doing that, quite likely they're not qualified in it. They know they're not qualified in it. They know that you'll probably have some pushback in when they ask you to go and see a personal trainer. So they probably won't prescribe it, but they should. And this is probably where you want a personal trainer. And a personal trainer will be by your side, like literally next to you. They'll be looking at how you move. And you go, well, how I move on a squat isn't relevant to how I move on a bike. It is. Like the whole hip hinge, glute activation, quad activation, that's power. If you can do that in a gym, the personal trainer by your side, you can do it on a bike because you will make that transition because you're a cyclist and you know it. So before you go, that hopefully opens up a new avenue of exploration for you. Could you actually coach yourself using a training program online? Most training programs these days are polarized, which means 80% of your training is going to be good quality base miles, of which you're going to find a lot of advice about how to do good quality base training. And it's not that difficult to build a progressive plan of how to increase the volume of your base training. You could also go and get tested on a VO2 test to make sure you know where that base training should be, which leaves 20% of your training plan is going to be around intensity, which is going to be a combination of strength training, turbo training work. And again, I don't think this is that hard to program yourself. Again, using something like Trainer Road or Excerpt, where they're going to do most of that work for you. It just needs a bit of input from you to really understand what it's about. And again, there are help files everywhere. And this is where you look at, am I trying to train my weakness or am I trying to exaggerate my strengths? And am I trying to train specific to the discipline of my sport? And then was that intense workout hard enough? And you can do that off RPE, rate of perceived effort. And a hard workout should be giving you 7, 8, 9. And if it wasn't, then you up it a little bit. And if it was too hard, you drop it down a little bit. And that process of plan, do, review can be done by yourself. Whereas things like skills coaching, which you can go along on courses and improve your skills, and having a personal trainer, I think could be an alternative. I'm just putting it out there. This podcast is about asking those questions, giving my opinion, seeing what you guys think, opening up the subject to discussion. I hope this has potentially sparked some interest. And if you are going to go looking for a coach, giving you some insight as to, one, the questions to ask, the value that you're expecting from it, and the amount of effort that you might have to put into the relationship to really make it work. Right, until the next time, I'm out. See you soon.